For Newcastle fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. For match highlights, interviews, and the best Newcastle videos and podcasts, download the free Toon Army app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome back to CHN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Troxell. You can follow me at NDOC_Greg. We have a match recap today of the pretty tough, or as a Newcastle fan would say it, the worst match I've ever seen in my 31 years of life. We're going to talk all about the one-nil, 1-1 draw to Fulham, and everything that happened around it, including a little bit of rumors. But first, we need to bring on the best damn co-host in the land, Elijah Newsome. How are you?
I know I'm excited to be here. Not excited to particularly be talking about the worst match I've ever seen from Newcastle since last.
I heard a pundit, a football pundit for the Premier League, say, well, after the Leeds match, and I forgot to mention it, of course, so I wanted to bring it up in here. And he's like, well, Newcastle lost 5-2, exactly what Newcastle fans for asked for. They said, we just want to go for it. We don't care if we lose 5-2 as long as we score goals. And I was like, come on.
But, like, he's also, like, not wrong. It's very fun because that's the same thing that we talk about.
Yeah.
But we've said this multiple, like, under the Rafa days, people were like, oh, I want to go for it. And it's like, I mean, yeah, sorry, like, it's a matter of safety at this point. But anyway. Yeah.
I mean, look at, we can get into this for sure. But like, look at Brighton. They're like, oh, we're going to play attacking football now. And like, look where they are.
Yeah. It's no surprise that Fat Sam, I shouldn't say that. Sam Allardyce, like when asked about like what he can, like what, how to survive in the Premier League, it was to defend, be solid defensively, mm-hmm. and just like knock the ball forward to a big four. Like that's, It's there's different versions of doing it, but like that's essentially what Rafa was doing. It was just much prettier, and Steve Bruce kind of tried to do that last year, and I'm not really sure what he's doing this year. But yeah, go ahead, follow your boy at Elijah_Newsome. Follow the podcast account at CHN_podcast because that is back up and running apparently, allegedly. And then the main account at Coming Up in UFC. Check out the site. There's stuff on there now, so that's cool. We also this is just a small thing that no one will actually care about, but I'm working on archiving all of the podcasts from the first half of the season. So that'll all be up on the website probably by the time people listen to this. Probably by the time people finish. Maybe by the time our Wednesday episode is being recorded. That'll be done. I'm going to give myself a huge buffer period. But yeah, that's all I got. Anything you got, Greg?
No, one thing we will be doing is we're going to have top 20 prospect re-ranked coming up. So I don't know how exactly how that's going to come out, but it will, and we'll let you know. And that's really the
it's
only
going to be one article a day for the next 20 days.
I actually think I might just do that. I might do a morning and like a morning and afternoon release, so it's two a day for 10, but I don't know, we'll see, unless people think that's just way too much like or annoying. But
no, I mean, if the Chronicle does like 12 articles a day and they're all like 200 words, okay, they're not, some of them they're good, that like for the most part. That was an unnecessary shot at the Chronicle, which is not fair because they're nice guys.
They've had a few of those. Yes. All right, let's get into this match then. 1-1 draw to Fulham. We, after every match, on CHN_podcast. We ask you to come up with three words to describe the match. Then we read them on this here podcast. So we'll start with Smick Ultra, who gets a special award because he quote tweeted one of his tweets that said awful, awful, awful. And then Eric Schmidt at NUFC Indiana said no plan again. Brendan Oswald at Bronto One says Newcastle shite again. James Whitmore at JLaw_Broski, Christmas ruined again. There's a lot of agains. John Kelly at JK Studs Sud 17, horrific home performance. Steven _NUFC says Steve Bruce out. God damn it, Dutch at Anthrax Jones says Hemlock on Wheat. Steve Merrick says, what a joke. Steven 47 Burnside Sid at Sid the Kid 36 says sheer shite lucky. Evbex sent three different submissions of three words.
Okay. Nine words.
Yeah. Yasmin A at AKHAY 1000 says in hashtag form, Bruce out now. Les Curry at gmail.com, bag of shite, Tune Texas, hashtag approve the sale, hashtag fans deserve better, says fuck off Bruce. And Gary Cooney at Gary_Cooney says Bruce fucking out. A lot of Bruce hate here. So let's find out why. for some clear reasons. So the initial thing, initial lineups, and we're going to talk about all of the match, but also some rumors that kind of came out today, is waiting for the lineup. It's really just waiting to see who's going to be named, because there's still some uncertainty with COVID and mainly Jamal Lascelles and Alan St. Maximin, because you haven't seen them. And then the lineup came out and it's confirmed once again that they are not a part of it. We had Carlo Darlow, Kieran Clark, Paul Dummett, Jonjo Shelvey, Jolinton, Matt Ritchie, Callum Wilson, Federico Fernandez, DeAndre Yedlin, Miguel Almiron, and Sean Longstaff. The subs were Gillespie, Carroll, Gale, Hayden, Jamal Lewis, Hendrick, Kraft, Razor, and Jacob Murphy. Just two things, Elijah. One, your thoughts on that lineup. And then two, we'll just segue straight from that into a little bit of the rumors that happened that came out today.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even noticed that Jamal Lascelles wasn't playing until literally today when people were like freaking out about it. I was like, oh, wow, I just totally forgot that, because it, like, the defense itself really hasn't like suffered a ton. Not to say his impact wasn't, I think obviously from an organizational standpoint, Adam always brings this up, that he's like a really good organizer of the back line, et cetera, et cetera. But like Kieran Clark has played generally well. Federico Fernandez has had his howlers every now and then, but generally played well. And Isaac Hayden has played well. So it just feels like we haven't really been missing anything. The Alan St. Maximin being out, that is definitely more noticeable because our attack has suffered, like, which does happen under when we don't have Alan St. Maximin in the lineup. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, nothing crazy. Not even super shocked to see Hayden on the bench. Again, like it's good to rotate people, and when you're playing that two-man in the midfield lineup, that makes sense, especially given that Newcastle had rotated the match before. And I thought it was a little bit interesting that Dwight Gayle didn't start. He's played really well off the bench and definitely deserves an opportunity to start. Jolinton's cooled off a little bit, definitely deserves a little time on the bench. And it is nice to see Jamal Lewis, who also needed to sit down because he's not been – great this thus far. Yeah. This season very inconsistent. Interesting to see Paul Dummett out there, mainly because Paul Dummett at this point is a center back, and he played like that on against Fulham. I feel like if I were Bruce, I would have gambled a little bit and probably started Ritchie at left back and maybe Fraser in the midfield as a right mid or a left mid. But I'm not Steve Bruce. I don't make the lineups, especially going up against Fulham. It's like you got to fancy yourselves a little bit. Matt Ritchie is not a great option as a midfielder anymore, but he's a much better. He's like a solid option as a fullback in today's game. So, yeah, I don't know. Those are my thoughts. And I guess you want to segue right into rumors or the.
Yeah. So it came out today that actually, so once again, ASM and Lascelles are out of the lineup. So it comes to play that they had COVID. So I know a lot of people were reporting. Well, tell us some of the things they were reporting, Elijah. Like,
well, we heard a lot. And we heard within 5 minutes of like each other, I heard that Alexei Maxman was in France, because he was avoiding Steve Bruce. I heard that he also was running in Newcastle, so he obviously doesn't have COVID, which is not at all why a player would not be named to the bench. If you're like, if you're asymptomatic, you still have it. You can still train and things, but and if you're recovering, you also are probably not training with the first team. But nonetheless, I also heard this morning that both Jamal Lascelles and Alexei Maxman got into an altercation with Steve Bruce, like a training ground bust up, which again is a little odd because Jamal Lascelles has literally never spoken out against manager, like ever. And yeah, it was quite odd. I mean, it just feels like any, like to push whatever agenda you want, like you could kind of make any rumor up. And I mean, obviously the easiest thing to say is like the players don't like Steve Bruce, which is just clearly not true at this point. Like the players seem to like Bruce a lot, but that's something that mainly Newcastle fans have been pushing for this whole season, that the players don't like Bruce. They don't like playing the style of play that he does. At the end of the day, the players may not like it, but I mean, it's resulting in them making Premier League cash. They're still in the Premier League. They're a mid-table side. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they want to push for a top 10, but they genuinely go out there every week and they think they're the better side than a lot of these teams. And I mean, yeah, they may be lacking in terms of tactical direction. That's something that they may be missing. But for some players, like a lot of players, honestly, at that level, like it's very split. Some players enjoy the strict tactical, like, you know, instructions that a Rafa Benitez gives. Like a Miguel Almiron loves that. A Sean Longstaff probably benefits well from that. But then there's players that love the fact that it's kind of like free flowing. You kind of do whatever you want, figure it out, guys. We got some general ideas of what you want to do. And honestly, like Alexei Maxman is that kind of player. Like, he doesn't want to be put in a box. Jojo Shelvey, that kind of player. So, I don't know. I feel like it's very weird, and the rumors are flying. But, yeah, they have COVID. Like, that – anyone would come to a logical – if a player's not played in five matches or four matches, they probably have COVID at this point. Like, it's – I don't know.
Yep.
And Bruce was hinting at it. He said two very important players are still battling. He's been saying that for the past three matches. And everyone's like, who could it be? And it's like, well, there's only two important players that are missing right now. Like, everyone else is kind of like a, you don't really care that they came back from COVID. Like, oh, wow, no one was head over heels when Jeff Hendrick came back from COVID. Like, no one was like, oh, we missed you, Jeff. Like,
Exactly. No, you said it well. We'll get into the match, but on Wednesday's or Thursday's or whatever day's podcast, you will see us talking more about rumors. So stay tuned. I know you can't wait for this Christmas week podcast extravaganza we're going to bring you, but you're going to have to wait a few more days. So the match started. It was 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1, that combination. It was Joelinton just off of Wilson, then Almiron on the left, Ritchie on the right, Longstaff and Shelvey in the middle, and then Yedlin and Dummett as your regular fullbacks, no wingbacks here. And it got underway. The first chance came a little after 10 minutes. It was for Wilson, and Ritchie got down the byline to the right, and he just put a pretty good cross into the box, actually, that Wilson was able to get his head on. Areola grabbed it. It took a second try to get to it, but he got it. And that was like the first actual chance that came from Newcastle's obvious try to get down the right side of the pitch. So they were using their attack in the beginning pretty much solely on Yedlin, which was fine. Like during that down that right side, Yedlin and Ritchie, and I'm completely fine with that. And it was clearly working. Fulham was having trouble with it. but we have one, our most creative players on the exact opposite side. So you want to do something to get Almirón the ball more there. That's just my initial thoughts, but like it's working, so don't do it. But yeah, move him to the middle then. Like you can do some things to get him more involved in those plays, because you want your best attacking players and your most creative players involved in every attack. That could be part of Steeper's philosophy, Elijah, of start your best players in 8 of the 10 times you'll win. Maybe every 8 of 10 attacks, you'll do something good if you put your best players on the ball. Just a thought. But essentially the match was the beginning of this match was completely Newcastle only doing well on the right hand side of the ball. And then Fulham not really doing that great attacking at all. And Newcastle had shades of a lot of possession here. There was one time where we actually passed it across our entire back line, just holding onto the ball and in our own end too. And we just like, we're holding onto the ball. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. This is great. And then right after that, I would say, I guess things started to shift. So 30 minutes in, Fulham started dominating and in possession. They had 62% by the half hour mark. And that what I thought was a pretty even match up until like right before the half hour mark. So it really shows you how much possession Fulham just started to absolutely take over. What's your thoughts in the first 30 minutes? Oh, Yedlin got caught, almost got a penalty again, got beat by Lookman, but it didn't happen. So
yeah,
penalty didn't happen. And yeah, Adama Lookman looked really good.
Yeah, they have a couple players on that team that if Fulham get relegated won't be there next year. I mean throughout the match, Anthony Robinson, it was a lot of American on American crime, him coming down that from that left wing back spot and just like doing what DeAndre Yedlin used to be able to do, which is he just sped past Yedlin a bunch. Lookman gave Yedlin some troubles, gave the back line in general, Yedlin and Fernandez especially, some issues. I think their midfield in the first half definitely outplayed ours. Between Lamine and Nguissa, both of those guys were just absolutely like just part of the reason why they were able to hold possession so well. I mean, Nguissa especially, he was definitely like the exact type of midfielder that Newcastle fans and Newcastle kind of needs. He was able to have that Isaac Hayden trait of being a solid defender, but he carried the ball forward, which takes a lot of the work out of the hands of like your creative players. In the case for Fulham, it's Lookman and Tierney. And so it alleviates a lot of stress for everyone involved. And that's kind of what Newcastle are lacking. Sean Longstaff has tried to do that. He's gotten a little bit better. This actually, people were upset about Sean Longstaff, but if you look at the numbers, this is actually a solid outing for him. But that's later on. But yeah, I think the biggest takeaway I took away from that first half was neither team like both teams are comfortable just sitting and letting the other team pass the ball around. Like when either team had possession, like when Newcastle had their spells of possession, Fulham were not trying to win the ball back and vice versa with Newcastle. And so it was just very interesting because neither team is used to having possession. So like they were just passing it along their back line and like certain players would try to take on players, but like there was no one who was like a dynamic individual that could actually take advantage of the fact that like, oh yes, for the first time in ages, another team is letting my team have a lot of the ball. And that's kind of where you notice, oh yes, where's the Alan St. Maximin? Because if this is a prime game for Alan St. Maximin to just like dominate in the sense of like he's going to try to dribble at Fulham's defenders. Like he will try to, regardless of if Newcastle's like if it's Chelsea, Liverpool, or Fulham or Brentford or Morecambe, if Alan St. Maximin's on the pitch, he's going to try to dribble at your defenders. And that's exactly what this game was missing. And it kind of was the reason why it was so boring. I mean, like you have a lot of players who are very comfortable defending and passing, and that's it.
Yeah. And then right after the 30-minute mark, Almirón and Joelinton actually switched positions, getting exactly what I wanted. Joelinton moved to the left, further away from where we were attacking, and Almirón moved towards it and occupied that number 10 spot. But it didn't last long. because Fulham scored, or Richie scored. And it was a deserved goal in the idea that like Fulham were dominating and were trying to create chances, and they got the goal. Like, they were the better team at that point. And Newcastle, like, were obviously in their completely sit back and invite the pressure, and which allowed them to dominate. And it was a corner that we just couldn't get a hold of. It was a free header from, I don't remember. But actually, do you know who it was? I can't remember. Whoever. Rich. It hits Richie in the face, and Shelby can't clear it, and 1-0 Fulham. What's your thoughts on that turn of events?
Yeah, it was a bit weird. Matt Richie looked like he got like shot when he did that. It was ridiculous because it was a quite tame header that like it bounced off the ground and hit him in the face. So it's like, I don't know how hard it really could have been, and maybe slow-mo's, you know, kind of making it seem slower than it actually was, but it was just kind of funny. Definitely a deserved goal. It was very, I don't know, it's whatever. Like, it happened, it was deserved, but it also felt like at any moment Newcastle could tie it up, especially like it felt like this was going to be a match where Newcastle would tie it up in the 9th minute, especially during that kind of like earlier stages of the game, because every time, like, Fulham had a lot of possession, but as soon as they turned it over, like, Newcastle did look dangerous on the counter. But of course, once again, what they were missing was the final ball. So they would launch this counterattack, and it'd be like Callum Wilson's getting forward, and Almiron's getting forward, and Richie's getting forward, and but Shelby's getting forward. Everyone's getting forward, and then like they get it into the final third, and like whatever pass is being played in is like just not a good pass or something like that. So it felt like even after this, that Newcastle were going to tie it up at some point. It was going to be some late tying goal that was just like, all right, I'm mad I watched this match type of thing.
Yeah. Yep. I'm 100% with you here. And that's how the first half ended. It was 1 minute extra time, but it was 1-0 at half. Fulham, their goal was coming, and we just kind of just bunkered away. We gave up attacking down the right. We gave up wanting to have possession or any attacking threat. And the midfield for Fulham was like absolutely dominating us at that point. And there was an Almiron half chance that I didn't really even talk about. It was a pretty easy save, but it was a somewhat of a chance. But outside of that, we really didn't threaten, and it just needed to get better at this point. Do you have any first half thoughts outside of what you just said?
No, I mean, yeah, like I said earlier, it was begging for a dynamic player. And like, yeah. Almiron is like, he's a different kind of dynamic player where it's like, he's not necessarily dribbling at defenses all the time. He's definitely trying to dribble past defenses, but it's like, and he's most dangerous on the counter, but you needed a guy who's comfortable just like, all right, nothing's going on. I'm just going to try to skill this guy and make him fall down and then just fire a shot. And at least make them respect me enough that like everything else is going to open up. Because at this point, like the only player that was actively trying to dribble at players was Joe Linton, and he would dribble at them. And like, sometimes it would work, but then he would just fall over and you're like, I mean, like, thank you.
It begs to differ. If you're going to like in a 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2, like Joe Linton's not a left winger. He's done well, like sometimes in that position, but like he's doing well in like paired with Callum. So like, why like they come up with this like faux 4-4-2 and run a 4-4-1-1, which is like, and then once you switch Jolent out to that left wing and give him all that space down the left, like Jolinton's not a great crosser. He's not going to dribble at opponents. He's great at holding up the ball. So like, yeah,
no, he's going to try to dribble at opponents. He's just going to fall.
Yeah,
like it's not going to look good. He's like the clumsiest dribbler I've ever seen. Like, it's actually hilarious because it's like he somehow maintains possession of the ball. Like, he's like, he does a skill move, like stumbles over himself, and somehow the ball still is with him. You're like, I don't know how this is working. But I also thought it was weird that like you have two forwards who are good in the air, and it's like I don't know, you have a back line that's not particularly great at a lot of things. And, like, why not even try to swing in crosses to him? I feel like that was the weird thing for me, was, like, it felt like Newcastle weren't even trying to, like, swing in crosses into the box, or that our forwards, especially when we had possession, like, they were in the box. It was just like, there was one opportunity where, like, they swung it across. Joel Linton easily won the header above, like, two center backs, which never happens. And he, of course, like, it flew off the top of his head. But it's like, I feel like that was another thing Newcastle did do. You have, especially with a guy like Matt Ritchie, who, like, all he does is swing in crosses. It felt like he wasn't even doing that. Or DeAndre Yedlin, neither one of them were really doing that, despite us attacking down that right-hand side that much. It was still a lot of, like, oh, let's try to play it on the ground. Let's try to get in behind. And it's like, it's clearly not working. Let's try something else. And at this point, it's like, yeah, you probably should at least try to swing in some sort of crosses to some of these strikers to make the keep, at least at a minimum, keep the defense honest. Because you're not even, like, attempting, like, there's nothing for them to worry about if all they have to do is worry about Joel Linton falling down. Like, what is that? That's nothing to them.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a break now, and we'll get back to the second half right after this.
For Newcastle fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. Plan your match day with our GPS travel planner, taking you to the best pubs, restaurants and hotels home and away. Download the free Toon Army app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Bam, second half starts. We got a sub. Well, before it starts. But Fernandez came off, and according to Burnsy, which has his account, his mouth on the tine or something like that, said that it's because he is so mad at Steve Bruce and his style of play that he refused to play for him. I'm going to take that as bullshit as we start the second half. So it was an important 45 for Newcastle, because it just ended on a very sour note. Isaac Hayden came in as the center back. No formation change. And we got started. And we won it. Actually, Almiron won the free kick. And great job doing that, by the way. And we put Shelby on it. That's the other thing. We don't have a free kick taker at all. He curled this one over the wall. It doesn't. This actually isn't that bad of a free kick, the one that Shelby hit. So he
is honestly over the net. I don't mind Shelby taking those. I don't mind him taking those
from far away, further away.
I don't even mind him taking them in general, because, like, we've seen him score plenty of free kick goals. Like,
that's fair.
Arguably the majority of his goals, not even arguably, half his goals in Newcastle are free kick goals. Like, I understand that. Like, I would say our issues really are kind of like those swing in the ball set pieces, where it's like, we literally don't have any player that seems to be competent enough to cross the ball in on those, like, set pieces. And those are our most dangerous set pieces, because we have defenders that all can score. So it's, like, very frustrating when you see, like, Sean Longstaff or Matt Ritchie line up on, like, the corner of the box, and all they have to do is clip in a cross that's, like, around the 6-yard box, and it just flies, like, and hits the corner flag. That's annoying. I don't really hate that Shelby's taking free kicks outside the box, or, like, ones that are shootable, because it's like, you're right, we don't have, like, a Kevin De Bruyne where it's going to be every time, but it's like, every so often Shelby's due for a free kick goal. I'm like, all right,
I'm with that. I will take back my criticism I gave, because that's a valid point. I know you know that, but I'm just acknowledging it. Then we had some more oddities happen. So Bruce is like, Almiron, Joel Linton, you guys switch sides again. that's the so definition weird. Of it's not working. Let's do something that's not going to do anything. So Almiron, who works best in the center, switches back to the left, where Joel Linton, who works best-ish in the center, but probably still needs to be pushed up in a 4-4-2, that we found out from the games that they played this year, but still 4-4-1-1. We also got a beautiful play by Joel Linton, I thought. So this was a Longstaff cross field pass to Yedlin. And he put a through ball into Joel Linton, which is a great ball by Yedlin, by the way. And Joel Linton, plays Wilson into the box with that pass. And we weren't able to get anything on it, but that's the type of just quick accurate passing that gets you goals in the Premier League. We like that. That's just an example of like something. We had something and we like something at Newcastle. It doesn't always, you know, we don't get a lot of somethings. And then we got more of a something right after this because it was a penalty. It was the first time Newcastle actually delivered on a counterattack. Almiron induced it. What a thought. So maybe switching to left did work for Bruce this time. He put a lovely ball in behind Fulham, and it was Wilson who got on it, and he was pulled back outside the box by Anderson. And then I'll just say he fell over in the box. They checked VAR. They gave a pen and a red card. So regardless of my opinion, I'll just say it. I thought it was a foul outside the box, and Wilson flopped and should have been reprimanded for that. I just hate that in the game. I don't care who's what side they're playing for. And then, but VAR checked it and gave a pen and a red card, sent Anderson off. Anderson was already on a yellow, but they gave him a straight red for it. So VAR must have said, "Yeah, that's a clear red." Even
it was a clear red because he was last back. That's the justification. Was like, if we're going to award the foul, it's like you have to award the foul and then also notate that he was the last man back, which is wild because it's like. Usually when you get last man back red cards, it's like almost like open field acres of space before the keeper. But it was like, this was like, right. It was like, it's rare you get a last man back penalty thing. Cause it's just weird. Like that just means Fulham's back line is terrible. If like there was one defender in the box, like that's not good. That's not good at all. Look.
Yeah. Oh man. It's great for us. Well, we thought, and Wilson scored. We should say that he slots it right down the middle. What?
I mean, like, it's a given. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. And so it's 1-1 here. And you got to think, as a Newcastle supporter, game over. We got this.
Okay.
I thought instantly that either Gale or Fraser would come on as a sub. Thought, you know, 10-man Fulham. But nothing happened. And we had to wait about 10 minutes before Gale to come on. And then literally for the remainder of the 20 minutes. So, no, sorry. It was 15 minutes. We had to wait 15 minutes for a sub. Joelinton came off for Dwight Gale. And there's a ton of space for Newcastle to go into, but nobody's doing anything. And we're not taking possession. And then we make another sub. 5 minutes after that, Dummett comes off for Ryan Fraser. And nothing changes. We're talking about a 15, maybe even 20-minute span where Newcastle did not even threaten in the box. A man up. There's no chances to speak of, really. I mean, is there anything that – I didn't even write down anything. And
Fulham had two chances. Lookman had a 1v1, I think, that was saved. The two best chances were from Fulham. It was like Lookman. Yeah. I think Kearney had a shot outside the box.
That Lookman one would have been offsides, but the save was like literally top class from Carl Darlow.
Yeah. It's going to go on his highlight tape. Like, yeah. Regardless, yeah. Like no one cares about what actually happened, but you leave that one in the huddle film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In huddle. Good shout out. Shout out huddle for yet. But yeah, that's how the match ended. It was bad. But, like, it's a point, and it was a very iffy penalty. I agree. But the red card, I'm more in agreement that should have been a red because the last man back, like you said, Elijah. But not a penalty. It was what my opinion was.
No, I would agree with that. I thought there was a foul. I just didn't think it was inside the box. Like, I thought it was – he definitely was fouled. But, yeah. The falling into the box just, like – like, I don't even know how VAR saw that and awarded it a penalty.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was very clear that when the actual foul happened, he was outside the box. Like, yeah. it was right to stop play for the foul, but I don't know. I mean, if I'm Fulham, I'm pissed. And we saw, like, Mitrovic was very much pissed. He was screaming. He came down from the stands screaming at the fourth official. But I think my only thought on that was there's two things I have to say, and they're both related. So when the red card was awarded – I tweeted from the Coming of Newcastle account, LOL, red card, Newcastle will now allow 10 men to pass the ball around them, which literally is what happened. And I just like people were I like I don't know. I understand being optimistic that Newcastle's up a man, but did we forget what happened when we went up a man against Southampton in like the 35th minute and it took us 60 minutes? Like literally Alan St. Maximin had an 89th minute wonder goal against a 10-man Southampton. That was like we had like four shots total that match. And it's like, I mean, like this team, they don't know what to do when they have when they have like the ball. Like they're built to counter. And so when you go up a man and you go up against a team that just sits back, and we've seen this under Bruce a ton in cup matches against lower league sides where they're up a man, like they still struggle to figure out how to create chances. And that's what I think Chris and Hinnage brought this up a couple weeks ago, and it was resurfaced because obviously you look at how teams play and you look at like a Southampton, for example, they have patterns that they use when they're attacking. So it's like, regardless, like if we have possession and we don't know what to do with it, there's a pattern that we use in order to like create space for others. And eventually at the end of that, there should be a chance created if all goes well, if a team's going to let you play. And every team does this. Man City does this, Liverpool does this. You have patterns based on like what happens, situational awareness. They're like, okay, all right, we're down a goal. We have the ball on the right side of the field, like, and we're entering the final third. What's happening? Oh, at this point, like Callum Wilson is making a run into the box. Sean Longstaff is pushing up from the midfield. And now whoever's playing it right mid spot, they can either take the ball out wide and crossing the ball because Kyle Wilson's making it run in the middle, or they can lay off to Sean Longstaff for a shot at the top of the box. Like, it's like simple things like that. We don't have any of that at Newcastle. So when we have possession, it's just like people passing the ball around until someone does something, and everyone is waiting on someone to do something. And if everyone's waiting on someone to do something, no one's doing anything. And that's ultimately what happens every single time Newcastle upper hand. Every single one of our goals this season have been like, not against the run of play, but they've been kind of like quick counters. I mean, like the West Brom match, I mean, the same thing. Like, it's annoying. It's just how Newcastle have been playing. And, like, nothing's going to change as long as Bruce is in charge. I mean, and obviously some of it's on the players too. But, like, again, there's got to be better communication or something because everyone can't stand around expecting someone else to do something.
Very well said. Elijah, you're killing it right now. Wow.
It's a coffee.
As a pundit said, and I'm sorry because I don't remember who, 11-man Newcastle comes from behind to beat to draw Fulham. That's how they ended the match, the tweet, and I thought that was brilliant. 11-man Newcastle comes from behind to draw Fulham. That's how it fell. That's sad. I just saw it. It's George Calkin.
Yeah, there you
go. It says their direct tweet is heroic backs to the wall stuff by 11-man Newcastle to cling on against Fulham. That's what it is. George Calkin, absolute gem of a human being. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get to quote stats, all those other things, right after this.
For Newcastle fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. Our chat system connects the Newcastle community with its public forums for supporters globally, as well as private chats with your mates. Download the free Toon Army app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Hello, Elijah.
Hello.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
We're always ready for some Steve Bruce quotes. He said, "I think the referee has made the right call. When I see the video back, it looks like he clipped his heel." My only thing on this, if there's the patent football soccer flop, and it's the two arms out with the knees bend at or the legs bend below the knee upwards, and you fall like that. No one ever falls like that. No one does. If you actually got hit, you'll fall differently than that. So that's my tip to all you who are looking if it's a flop. Try falling like that. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, he said if we're brutally honest, we weren't that great. We'll take the point. We haven't done enough today with and without the ball. Even with 10 men, we struggle to find any real quality to open up Fulham. We can perform better than we did. I can't fault the players' effort and honesty. But we can still improve on what we are doing. We didn't see enough tonight or the other night. When you keep surrendering the ball at this level, you're going to struggle. Against 10 men, we struggle to create anything, but we've had a difficult week and we'll dust ourselves down and get ready for Tuesday. Yeah. He said on Fernandez for the sub at the half, he said he was struggling with fatigue, both calves and hamstrings. Last thing you want to do is to be making defensive changes, but in the first half, I could have taken 4, 5, or 6 off. We're nowhere near the level we should be. That's what he said. Thoughts? Or are you just anger? Frustration?
It's not anger, or it's not even frustration. It's like, I don't know. It's just very weird where it's like, I feel as if, like, and you talk about this, Greg, like accountability works both ways, right? And I honestly think, like, and we slag the players, but like after every time Newcastle have an awful performance, the first thing that you see is a player like tweeting out or like saying on Instagram, like, hey, we suck. Like Isaac Hayden on Leeds, he's like, that was shit. Like that was terrible. And we need to do better. And it's like, that's even better, like saying like, hey, this is on us as players. Like we have to improve. But I don't know. It just feels like Steve Bruce, like, I think that's the annoying thing. It's like, obviously, like you said, it's important that you criticize both the players and the manager, but it's so much easier to just criticize the manager when the manager never criticizes himself. Like he never is like, I got it wrong. Or like, I should like, we'll have to, it's never like, we'll work on this. It's always like, yeah, we're not doing this. And it's like, yes, we know that we are not, like, what are we going to do about it to improve on that? And it's never, I think that's the annoying thing is like, I feel like players do a better job of accepting responsibility than Steve Bruce does. And like, they're not doing a particularly great job, but they're at least doing it on occasion, especially when Newcastle look really bad. They're like,
yeah,
we need to do better. Like they all are like, there's always 3 or 4 players that tweet out something and someone different every time. And it's the people, and like Isaac Hayden has like 5 tweets this year. And like 2 of them are like this season, 2 of them are like, yeah, we suck. So it's like, it's annoying. Fernandez, the same thing. It's like, ugh, I don't know.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to add what Scott Parker said, the Fulham manager. He said, I've gone and looked over the penalty incident, and I'm not trying to say this with any emotion or being biased. I just don't understand how he's given a penalty, if I'm being brutally honest with you. The initial foul takes place outside the box. Callum Wilson then steps in the box and falls over. At real speed, I understand why the ref may have given it. I get that. And 2 years ago, without VAR, it's one of those things you have to take on the chin that the referee has made a mistake. What's puzzling and concerning is we have VAR now. He walks over to a screen. I don't know if he's seen a different angle to what I've just seen in the changing room, but the initial contact clearly and unequivocally takes place outside the box. He then falls over. That's what's concerning. So I completely cannot argue with what he said there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's what exactly what we said.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just from him, right? But
he just said it better than us, though. He's like, oh, clearly and unequivocally. Huh.
Yeah. That's 2 straight Premier League home matches without a defeat for the first time since July. We had draw, loss, 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 win, loss, win, loss, win, draw. Woo! 2 in a row, guys.
Yeah.
Callum had his 8th goal and his 4th penalty. All 8 of those goals have come in the second half of games. Alan Shearer scored 9 goals in his first 12 matches. And 2 of those were penalties, 7 from open play. And then...
Oh, 8 goals is Callum's season total from last year.
So oh, yeah. There you go.
He said he wanted to surpass that by a lot. And he literally just needs to score a couple more goals for him to do that. So shout out to Callum.
Yeah. Shout out also to Paul Dummett. That's his first competitive game in almost exactly a year. It was today. Actually, it would have been a year today on Monday the 21st. DeAndre Yedlin started his first Premier League match this season. And the Premier League rule change happened this week where you could name 9 substitutes. Newcastle did name 9, but Fulham only 8. but you can name nine now.
Also, Ellie Anderson just does – he probably doesn't have COVID because he was on the bench against Leeds, I think. I think we just never mentioned that.
No, he wasn't.
No, someone – Lee Ryder said, like, he was on the bench for – he was on the bench for one of these.
I think he played in the U U21 FA Youth Cup. I know that, but I didn't think he was in there. He may have been. I could have missed it.
I think we all missed it because it was like no one cares. Yeah. Like, in the sense of like it wasn't going to change.
It really is just me that cares, and like maybe
it's I think it's important when it's like I think no one cares because it's like, oh yes, Callum Wilson and Joe Linton going into the Leeds match for playing well and Dwight Gale. So it's like no one cares because of that. But like if it was like a situation a couple weeks ago where it's like no Callum Wilson, Joe Linton's probably not playing the best, like Gale still injured, then like people are starting to pay attention to Ellie Anderson. That's actually how people even heard about him in general.
Yep. Going to expected stats, Newcastle actually led an XG 1.27 to 1.11. We know where most of that XG came from, though. Elijah, who led an XG?
Callum Wilson.
Yeah, with 0.87. XA is going to be a little bit harder. Do you know who led an XA?
Because
that doesn't count as an assist for Almiron.
No, I know. Maybe it's Joel Linton.
It was not. Joel Linton did not get any XA. It was Matt Ritchie, and I couldn't tell you when. 0.15. I mean, that's maybe, like so small.
You know, actually, was it when he – I don't remember who swung in that ball.
That was to Joel Linton, the header, in the first half. Yep,
that was Ritchie. That'd probably be it, which makes sense. Good it was call. 0.15.
Yep. Yeah.
XA knows that if it's being swung into Joel Linton, you got to dock like at least 0.4.
No, it was swung into Callum.
Oh, you're talking about that chance?
Yeah. Maybe. Newcastle had 41% of the chances in the match, which led. We had 12 shots to their 11 and 5 shots on target to their 4. Remember, we were a man up for a good portion of this. PPDA was pretty good for both sides. 16.94 for Fulham, and we were a little better on 14.53, and we were expected to get 1.5 points to their 1.2. So it ended 1-1 draw, which is exactly what XG is showing. Going to 538, how we'll finish at the end of the season. We are in 16th, according to 538. We'll finish with 41 points and a minus 24 goal difference. Burnley, Fulham, Sheffield United, and West Brom, the only ones behind us. Oh, well, we have a still less than 1% chance to win the Premier League, less than 1% chance to qualify for Champions League, 18% chance to get relegated, and we have a 3% chance of a top 10 finish. Mm-hmm. Elijah, who was your best player? We do best and worst. Start with worst.
Oh, worst. Oh, geez. I don't know. I don't want to know that. I'd probably Joel Linton.
Well, yeah. There and to be fair, I would say like not many people were terrible. It's just like
yeah, it was
do
weird.
Anything. So like, let's not do worst. Like Joel Linton.
Yeah. Like Joel Linton. I just want it. Comedy effect. It's just funny seeing him just fall all over the place. It's just like I think like that's the thing. He's just so clumsy. It's just funny. And I mean, I guess technically speaking, it's probably Matt Ritchie because he probably like completed 2 of 8 crosses and had the own goal. But like again, like you can't really fault him too much because like the whole team wasn't great and they weren't awful either. I guess best player, honestly, Sean Longstaff had himself a decent outing. Obviously, like he had a couple. Like if you were to read Newcastle Twitter on Sean Longstaff, and obviously we know he's regressed, but like he had by far one of the highest pass percentage, like. Completion. He had 84% pass success, which is like up there with like Anguissa and Lamina. Lamina had 90%. I think he had the most for the match. But like Fulham from midfield, we talked about how good they were, and he was pretty on pace with them. And he had like a couple dribbles completed, most tackles out of any of the kind of midfield players for Newcastle. You know, had a decent possession percentage rate. Like, it just like he was solid. Like, but again, it's stuff that you wouldn't notice. And I think that if Newcastle win, it would be like one of those things where people would be like, oh man, Sean Longstaff was underrated after they kind of go back and look at the tape. But because it was a draw and Newcastle really didn't create, like, well, I guess they created chances, but not a lot of quality chances. You're just under a microscope at that point, and yep. any mistake you make is going to be like frowned upon. And it's weird because Sean Longstaff has had significantly worse outings than this, but people were like head and shoulders just ragging him for this one. I'm like, dude, he didn't give up a goal this time. So I feel like that's progress for Sean Longstaff.
Yeah, totally. My best player then, I really liked her, Sean Longstaff. I'll say okay. Isaac Hayden.
Yeah.
Or you know what? I'm gonna change it up. My okay. player, my man of the match for Newcastle, DeAndre Yedlin, baby.
He was solid.
Hey, he was an attacking threat when we didn't have one. He absolutely exploited the right side of Fulham. He can play
well, the left side of Fulham, I guess, really.
Yes, the left side. Good call out. he can play in this league.
Yeah, he really can.
He did get beat by Lookman. A lot of people do get beat by Lookman, to be fair. Like, Lookman is good. But that's always been DeAndre Yedlin's weak side, and most managers, and completely understandable, will bench Yedlin because of that weakness. And I get that. But you see matches like this where he actually plays a role in the attack for you that you wouldn't get from a normal just right fullback. Like, that's it.
It's so very like shades of Victor Moses, like when he was like cast off by Chelsea, and then like one season he was like, oh wow, this guy's really good when he doesn't have to defend a bunch. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. No, exactly. On who scored, the players that got 7 or higher, we had Carlo Darlow, Isaac Hayden, Sean Longstaff, and Callum Wilson.
Man of the match.
8-4. Yeah.
Greg, I have a new thing I'm throwing at you right now. I think it's something that's interesting and I may be worth doing for all the teams that are probably like mid-table and below. Pick one player for Fulham right now that you think you would take a Newcastle starting 11, like right now.
Lookman.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah, I'd go in Gisa. I just think, like, I feel like, I mean, I like Lookman a ton, but I just feel like that need for someone in the middle of the pitch that's not like a Cam to be able to offer something creatively is just what is just going to be Newcastle's Achilles heel. Like, they cannot for the life of them figure that out. And you've got a lot of guys. Like, if you put Sean Longstaff, Matty Longstaff, and Jonjo Shelvey and merge them into one player, then maybe you have a competent player. But, like, you can't do that. So we're just stuck with Isaac Hayden, who is a top-quality center defensive mid, as, like, we've seen multiple times. But then, like, whoever's alongside him, like, they have way more offensive responsibility than, like, they should have.
Yeah.
Given, like, their skill level. Like, if it was a 3-man midfield, then like, if it was like a 4-3-3, then it's like, maybe you can get away with playing Shelvey and Longstaff with Hayden behind them. But like, when it's not that, it's rough. They need a guy who can just handle it on his own, play the pass and carry the ball forward.
Also, shout out to Anthony Robinson. Another good day.
Hey, DeAndre Yedlin, I think he's got an outside shot at being like one of those veterans they bring in for the Olympic team next year.
Oh, really? That'd be cool for him.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to just do one more thing before we close out, but that's going to conclude our match recap of Fulham Newcastle. But we are going to do just a short preview because we are releasing this pretty much right before the Brentford match, but Elijah, are you ready for Ivan Toney versus Newcastle United in the quarterfinals of the EFL Cup?
Yeah.
Because we're just playing Ivan Toney too. So
apparently.
I like our odds.
Yeah. If it's 11 versus 1,
yeah.
It's like, hey, one person can't pass the ball around Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be It's a huge opportunity for Newcastle because the semi-final is also going to be it's a one leg semi. Like it's like literally Newcastle are two wins from the final.
Yeah, and also worth noting for this final, really cool. This is like a this would be an odds and ends on Thursday's episode. But the FA announced that they're moving the EFL trophy final to April.
Oh yeah.
So that like for potentially so that there could be some fans at it. So that'd be cool. Is that like Newcastle fans could it wouldn't be like a cup run that sucks because Newcastle fans wouldn't be a part of it. But it'd be like a cup run that's like pretty cool because at the end of it, maybe Newcastle fans can see Newcastle losing the final. So that'd be cool. Steve Bruce will get you to the final. There's no guarantee he'll win it.
Yeah. I mean, this is exciting though. The cup run's fun. It's very possible that Newcastle can win this. And then, you know, at this point you're two matches away from hosting trophy for the first time since 69. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, this is close. And this is a team that we can easily beat. It's remains to be seen who's going to be available. Like as far as like Lascelles and Alan Tate Maximin, Lascelles was posting a lot today on Monday. And apparently he's back. He's like getting back to training. So probably not today, but
you know, who else is back?
I can tell you who's not in France.
Oh, Alan Tate Maximin, but I can tell you who's back and posted about it as well. Mm-hmm. Good old Marty D. Marty D is back in training. So that was an interesting little wrinkle that was nice to see it before dinner. So Martin Dubravka back in contention.
Yeah, I forgot.
I doubt he plays against Brentford. But I mean, honestly,
they did say end of December, so we're like,
yeah. I mean, it is the end of December. I mean, honestly, I could see Martin Dubravka playing against Brentford. Like, I could see Steve Bruce being like, oh yeah, why not? Like,
if Martin's in, it's a shutout. We win.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Like, if it's like, because is Gillespie? Was he on the bench? Like,
yeah.
Okay,
damn. He was on the bench for Fulham.
Well, it's got to be Gillespie. Yeah, so
you think this is a big match?
I don't know. I mean, I think it could be also be a weird situation where it's like not a weird situation, but I could see Darlow starting this and then Dubravka starting Saturday.
I like that more. I think
that really actually could happen because it's like it's a match Saturday. You're not really anticipating winning. It's Man City. So it's like, but it's like you don't lose anything from having, you're number one from last year, one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League starting that match. Like you don't lose anything by having him start that match, but you definitely could lose something by starting him tomorrow, one day after he's returned to training.
Yeah,
or today, I guess.
My last lineup prediction is Elliot Anderson. I think will be involved because he wasn't. I realized what you were talking about earlier, Elijah. I think this is before we were recording, but when you said he wasn't in the U23s, Elliot, or maybe this is when we were recording. He wasn't in the U23s today, in today's match against Crystal Palace. So we're assuming that he should be ready to go.
No, I was saying ahead of the Leeds match, like when, like, you remember it was, I think it was West Brom. We were trying to figure out who had COVID. And, like, we saw Elliot Anderson
playing
U23s. And then he didn't show up on the bench. So everyone's like, oh, we
were not ever. Yeah, just us. Yeah, yeah.
But that was, like, 2 weeks ago. And then I was like, oh, I guess he doesn't have – because he didn't make any appearances. And then he, like, did, like, a week later. So I was like, oh, I guess he either doesn't have COVID anymore or, like, just never had it. And they were just like, hey, Elliot, you've been playing a lot. Like, you can rest.
Yeah, you do this.
Quick fire prediction for Brentford. What do you think happens?
2-0 Newcastle. Goals.
I don't know.
Goals by Almiron and Elliot Anderson.
Newcastle on paper they should win, but Newcastle have struggled under Bruce. I mean, I guess even under Rafa against championship sides in cups. So I could see. I wouldn't say it'd be a bad thing because I think Brentford is a team that should be like in the Premier League within the next 2-3 seasons at a minimum. But I think Newcastle loses 2-1. I don't know. I'm feeling better about Brentford's ability. Like they're going to definitely want it more, I think. And Ivan Toney's definitely going to want it a ton. I don't think he scores against us. scenes if he does. But I just, I don't know. There's something about, like, Newcastle definitely struggled when teams are super motivated. Like, what was that team Luke Matheson played for? Was that Rochdale maybe?
Yeah, Rochdale.
And they gave Newcastle a freaking fight to the end. And so it's like, you know, I don't know. If a team cares about the cup, then they do. But also, Brentford, their priority is promotion. So I could see them putting a rotated side out against Newcastle as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to conclude.
Oh, I didn't give my prediction. Oh, wait.
Yeah, you did.
2-1. Oh, yeah, 2-1. 2-1. Okay. We lose it. 2-1, yeah. By the way.
You said that too. That concludes this episode of CHN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Troxell. That's the best damn coast in the land, Elijah Newsom. Congrats to Elias Sorensen for scoring the winner on loan today. And let's advance to the semifinals in the EFL Cup. Let's do it. We'll see you soon. And away the Labs.
Good pod.
Oh, dude, love you guys. I was waiting, holding on.
Oh, wow, I messed up. Love you guys. For a bottle of your own brown ale, I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park. If the Gallagher's end in the rain, I'm coming home. And I'm proud to be a Geordie and to live in Geordie land. Some people think we're bawdy and we're hard to understand, and they say it's just self-pity and we're not so very tough, 'cause the people in the big fat city haven't had it tough as rough. I'm coming home, Newcastle, you can keep your London wine. I've walked the streets all day, I'll meet for a bottle of the River Tyne. I'm coming home, Newcastle, I wish I'd never been away. I'd kiss the ground for the welcome sound and me mother saying, "Hinny, how we? I'm coming home." And I miss the old blind busker who stands at Fenwick's door. He plays a mean accordion, you've all seen him there before. And I love the Geordie heroes, there's so many famous names, like Lindisfarne in Gaza, Brendan Foster in the Gateshead Games. I'm coming home, Newcastle, I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day, I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle, if you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park, at the Gallagher's end in the rain. I'm coming home, Newcastle, you can keep your London wine. Walk the streets all day, I'll meet for a bottle of the River Tyne. I'm coming home, Newcastle, I wish I'd never been away. I'd kiss the ground for the welcome sound and me mother saying, "Hinny, how we?" I'm coming home, Newcastle, I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day, I'll meet for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle, if you never win the cup again, brave the dark at St. James's Park, at the Gallagher's end in the rain. I'm coming home.